My name's James.
I'm Nicole.
And welcome to the 200th episode of Mostly Speaking Sentai. Yes, guys, for the 200th time, my name's James, and welcome into Mostly Speakin' Sentai. Have we done some Mostly Lovin' Luchas that accounted for 12 episodes? Have we done Bible Man that's like 8? Have we done a bunch of Road to G-Fests and some Kaiju Icons? Yes, but this is of the proper stuff. Sometimes we didn't list things that probably should have been proper episodes, but we're here. We're beer. Don't drink and drive. I'm Mostly Speaking Sentai. Oh boy, I gotta introduce my co-host for the 200th time, even though sometimes Monse was here, sometimes maybe a Courtney, etc. It's the Nickel, the Bricks, Jakus.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Can I tell a story?
I guess.
Okay, so I was coming home from Chicago Comics, working maybe a crisp 9 degrees outside. I'm shivering, but I'm still on my scooter because I'm efficient. I had just closed for the first time ever by myself with the manager on the phone guiding me. So it was an emergency situation. One of our friends... they're a star of the stage. It's Mars. But on my way home... I don't usually breathe hard because I'm afraid of toxins in the air because they mess with my lungs. But I smell and I'm like, oh, I just passed that Taco Bell. And I'm like, I'm going to give myself a treat. I'm going to whiff up this Taco Bell smell. But remember, I'm on a scooter.
Your treat is...
Yes.
We're so poor. A treat to you is just smelling Taco Bell.
I would say it's more so a treat to my lungs that it's like normally you're short in breath. So I take a big ol' whiff. But what is across the street from Taco Bell is something that I'm like, oh, why does it smell like semen? Because they must have been making like pancake batter at Ann Slather's.
Okay.
It just all of a sudden, my treat ended up being my nostrils full of semen.
What?
Yeah.
Pancake batter smells like semen to
you?
You
didn't know that? No. Sarah Silverman even has a song about it. It does.
You know, there's people who talk about these like... trees that smell like cum here in Los Angeles. And I've never known what they were talking about. And people talk about how like mushrooms cooking smells like cum. I'm like, what cum are you smelling? Do I not have the cum smelling gene?
You might not. Cum might smell soapy to you.
It smells like nothing.
Oh, I guess that's the best case scenario. Because usually it has like a chlorine smell.
What?
Yeah.
That's it. I gotta go sniff some cum. I haven't gotten my nose in there close enough.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I've never just like put cum up to my face to smell it.
Well, Nicole, generally you plug your nose and say, ooh, stinky, stinky. If you even see my penis, you plug your nose and say, I don't want that spraying near me.
Yeah.
Stinky stink.
I don't want that throwing up near me.
I don't want that spraying acid like a carnivorous plant at me.
Yeah.
Nicole, what if when I orgasmed, it was the same volume of noise that I make when I throw up?
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's abrasive. It's consensual,
but...
We
wouldn't be able to live
in
an apartment building.
I would have to, like, muzzle myself. I'd have to, like, put a ball gag on just to whack it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Our guest knows too much about my routine.
Your comedy
Do
routine.
Do you want me to introduce myself?
No. We're not introducing you until we say, gentlemen's, ladies, non-binaries, it's the 200th guest extravaganza of a Mostly Speaking Sentai, where we have one of the greatest guests aboard today. You know them from the Romcomplex, also celebrating their 200th episode this day. Go over and listen to that, unless we release our episodes at like 7 p.m. Central Time. So possibly if you're one of the few freaks that listen to it right away, you're not going to get it. Also, it's only for our inmates that do that. But go and listen to the Rom Complex 200th episode, and please get on board like all the people on YouTube now listening to Formulaic, a podcast and script writing. But please, people on YouTube, listen to the episodes where we write the scripts, not just the table reads.
But the table reads are so fun.
I prefer the writings of the script episodes.
I think they both have their qualities. I understand why not everyone would be into the writing of the script episode.
They're funny.
They are funny. They're funny. And if you are interested in how a story comes about, they're definitely fun to listen to.
Hopefully people listen to the table reads and say, I gotta find out how they wrote this. Or maybe we don't explain that much. Like, hey, we wrote this on the previous episode.
We'll have to think about it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. But also, if you're listening to today on February 1st, head over to twitch.tv/R2Shelby2 to watch R2 Shelby 2 and Sam celebrate the 200th episode of Formulaic, a podcast and script writing. No, I kid. It's the Rom Complex, and it's R2 Shelby 2.
That's me. I'm here. I'm introduced. I can finally speak. Thank you for having me on. I feel so honored to be on the 200th episode.
You don't worry about it. We should be thanking you, because what we realized is Corwin did a fantastic job on our 5th year anniversary. So why not on these big episodes just get tried and true guests instead of like, hey, let's insert the famous person I asked to be on here.
Yeah, the famous person who, like, doesn't know your whole deal, your whole vibe. You could see how someone might come into this show and be like, what?
Or the insert famous person who just does not look at his emails or thinks he responded to something even though he's just too stoned.
Wow, I wonder who that famous person is. Seth Rogen?
No. Donkey Kong himself.
Jack Black?
Half of Black and White himself.
No, I can't think of any other person. Sorry.
You're on a song with him.
I know. I'm just teasing.
I know, and I'm teasing you as well.
Fun. Listen, I just want to make sure. This is the kind of stuff you can get when you have a tried and true guest on your podcast who you already have perfect rapport with.
Mm-hmm. You can say things like, I smelled a bunch of semen.
And I'll just roll with it. Isn't that right, Nicole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicole will not roll with it. She rolls her eyes at it. Well,
Hey-o.
We, the two of us are just like, hee hee hee. What do you smell when you smell cum? You smell a void.
A void.
And I smell chlorine.
And I said I don't.
Yeah, you just straight up don't smell it.
Yeah. By choice.
God, I could say so much grosser things and I'm reining it in because I have to be, I have to stay on the straight and narrow when playing off of James. Because we know.
Nicole says, just come out the window, okay? So to avoid an indecent exposure suit, Nicole and I have rigged like a tube system.
Someone's just walking their dog.
It just kind of oozes out slowly.
Yeah, that's assault. Why don't you just do it straight down the toilet?
I could end up on the brim.
But then you'd have to go all the way to the bathroom.
Yeah, that too. I'm closer to windows.
Well, if you have a tube system, the tube can be wherever you want.
Yes.
Oh, like a hamster like environment for the sperms.
But it's like
for the cummies.
you know, a vacuum cleaner, how it has that like kind of like wonky tube. And sometimes you have to shake it to get things loose and go down into the bag. That's what I have to do. It's like a retractable tube that I come in and then I got to shake it real good.
I thought you meant that's what your penis is like to get the cum out. You got to shake it.
I'm a normal boy, okay?
You can only come flaccid.
I wish.
So that's true for some.
Is it?
The world is full of people, isn't it?
Wow. You've never smelled semen, but you've seen someone come flaccid.
I didn't say I've seen it. I just feel that it exists.
Come flaccid, stay for the family. It's like Olive Garden, baby.
Proud
podcast partner,
the Tokusatsu Network.
Not sure if we still are. They haven't posted any of our episodes.
It's a bit.
I would change it. I'd say like proud podcast partner of OK Owl.
Yeah, OK Owl's no more.
Yeah, but that's why I would start doing it. What's another no more company that I could...
Circuit City.
Ooh, proud podcast partner of Circuit City. No one's coming after that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Well, things that I would like to come after and give a salute to are, I crunched some numbers, guys. How many guests would you say individuals have guested on The Rom Complex?
Not a lot. Maybe like 10.
Okay. In 200 episodes, well, in 200 episodes of this show, there was a 24-week stretch, Nicole, that it was just you and I during the pandemic. Mm. And then, you know, Matt Diaz was our last guest before quarantine. Then Tyler Wright came out swinging to get us back into the groove thing, talking about tickling Pikachu's feet and such.
Okay, but you asked about the Rom Complex.
Yeah, and I was saying... I was wondering how many guests R2 has had to also remind people, hey, go check out The Rom Complex. We have had 84 people on this show. Think of how that's so many lives we've touched and shown this weird bullshit. Mm-hmm.
And they will never forget you.
We're the 9/11 of podcasts.
Oh, no.
That's right. Proud podcasting partner of 9/11.
Uh-huh. Or 9/11 is a proud podcast partner of us.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty cool. So I crunched further numbers to figure out who holds the top spots, who has guested on our show, made the most appearances out of everyone. And I was able to collect about 13 people for like a top six. If you are above five appearances, you are on this list, guys. So I would like to congratulate all these people and thank them from the bottom of my heart for helping this show become what it is. Because especially in the early days, people would say like, well, what show is this? And it really was dictated on the guest. It really was like, whatever the guest is down for, that's what the show ends up being. And I think a lot of podcasts should be that. Be a little malleable for your guests because they're the ones taking their time out of their day and, you know, tolerating the smell of semen. Especially when we were in studio. It was rank, guys. Not from me, from Franklin. That boy loved to just ooze.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me for approval.
Okay, I was wanting you to say like, yeah, I'll back you up on that.
Yeah, that's what approval is.
No. Not in me and him. I want to make sure that you're sex positive for kittens. I kept going around
a
couple
a
days ago.
He's a senior citizen of a cat.
I kept going around saying, oh, Nicole, I got the FIV.
The what?
Feline.
Oh, feline.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
The FIV, baby. Okay. These four individuals tie for five appearances on the show. We have from This Movie's Gay on Hiatus, it's Corwin. You know Corwin.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Corwin's great.
He was on our fifth anniversary episode. Then, because of this appearance, we got R2 Shelby 2 from the ROM complex.
Oh my gosh, wow. Well, I'd just like to thank the hosts of the show. I'd like to thank Taco Bell. And I'd like to thank, let's see, one third more thing, my Sam. Vape pen. Oh, okay. Sam. Yeah, Sam. No, yeah. Forget all City. Of them. Sam, my co-host Sam. Brought to you by Circuit City.
Thank you. Then, you're going to see a trend on this list. It's mainly, I should have just taken out all co-hosts and been like, the people who aren't benefiting directly from appearing on this show should be the only ones being congratulated, but we'll still keep congratulating. Coming in at also tied for five is Steve Barnes, aka Introvoid of Sweet Child of Time.
Woo!
Yeah.
Then we have TC, formerly from What the Hellmouth. And now, this person has been on this show six times. One of the people who is not a direct co-host, but has co-hosted a show that we did our first episode late February 2020, and then something happened. It is Just Nick, period, a.k.a. Nick Foster. Then, with seven appearances, we have both Courtney King of I'll Get There and Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour. And then, coming in at nine, this person used to hold the top spot, but then their life got busy and they have a successful career. It's from the Morphbots, Melzer.
Woo!
And now, bumping up to 10, these two are tied. We have Jose from Hit It and Crit It and Death to Squids coming back next week, as well as formerly of Hit It and Crit It, now Overlord Snugs Gaming on YouTube, a.k.a. OLS Gaming. It's Rudy!
Woo!
And now bumping up to 11, it's Monse from I'll Get There. Which maybe Monse shouldn't be up there, because one of those was technically a co-host appearance. Also, I think for Courtney, but they still appeared. But they were guest co-hosts, so yeah, it still counts.
I think it counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that time I guest co-hosted for Sam, and it was just you and me talking about, what's a rom-com I could say right now?
The Great Mouse Detective.
Okay, The Great Mouse Detective. I thought it was Blow.
Yeah, that too. Another equally not a rom-com.
Hey, it's about the drug game, and that's romance to me. And now, this is in second place. From This Existed and Hit It and Crit It, it's Lil Corey King. And coming in with 15 appearances, that's from 12 to 15. That's a big jump. We have the Goose Von Kaiser himself. He is the king. It's Sean Marciniak of Sweaty Time Pro Wrestling.
Honka, honka.
Honk, 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 honk,
honk. Honk, honk, honk.
Oh, no.
He's got to find a juggalette to date, guys.
He'll get there, you know?
I realize I just want him to date a girl version of me, so it's, like, easy to, like, become friends with that person. Think about it, Nicole. It's a girl version of me. Actually, I'd be just jealous of her because, like, she got what I wanted.
Sean?
No, not Sean. The female anatomy.
Oh, okay.
I'm hearing girl version of you, and I'm like, that's just you.
No.
It's just still James.
It's still you.
No.
Despite everything, it's still you.
My first kiss wasn't cute like, you know, in lesbian coming-of-age movies. My first kiss would have to be bleeped out.
Yeah. No, my first sex would have to be bleeped out as well.
Oh,
so
wait.
We got it.
Wait, I'm afraid of... Is your, like...
No, it was, I was 18, so it, you know.
Oh, I was a that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I would literally have to be bleeped out. Might have to bleep out a lot of this.
James is like, it's fine when I'm making a joke about my trauma, but when it's someone else.
But I was, a kiss and like possibly I was like, oh, was Shelby's. I wouldn't count that as first sexual experience if it was assault.
But you did, though.
Well, mine was first kiss. We need to change the subject.
Which means it doesn't count. That's what I'm saying.
Did I ever tell you about how when I was like 5, I would hang out with this 11-year-old girl and we definitely kissed on the lips, like very much. Like I was lying on top of her. I was like, can we do a long kiss like in the movies? And she's like, yeah, just don't like, you gotta move if my dad comes down here.
I'm finding that girl and I'm gonna DDT her.
I mean, it was fine. She was a kid. Also.
Okay. That's still a 6-year-old and 11. I mean, 5 and 11. That's 6 years.
It is. But I mean, I'm not traumatized by it. So I don't consider it like okay.
I don't know if I'm traumatized by mine. Yeah, I have those nightmares, but that's not in the waking world.
I thought we were changing the subject.
Well, then we started talking.
Every time James and I get together, you know we're gonna trauma dump. That's what it's all about. So anyway, this is us coming back from whatever you cut out from that section.
I'll just bleep a bunch of stuff. Nicole or Shelby, what do you consider your first kiss? Like your first official kiss?
I guess I would consider that like a tongue kiss. So that would have been on May 27th, 2003. 2 days after my 13th birthday with a 17-year-old guy in the back of a movie theater while watching Bruce Almighty.
I thought you were going to say in the back of a moving truck. I was going to be like, what? Why?
I didn't say that, though. I said something else.
All right. It would have been cool if it was a moving truck back in Jersey.
No, this was in Florida.
Okay. Florida man style in the back of a moving movie theater.
And you want to know the guy's name?
Yeah.
And I'm not even kidding.
Bruce Willis.
Randy.
Oh, well, that's a thing that will be at the end, a reference to a blooper.
I mean, also separately, Randy is just a wild name for a 17-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Call himself Ronald.
Yeah, that's what Randy's short for.
Okay, well, Randall, it's the same thing. It's just a different vowel.
I was thinking about that. Do you think the names Chase and Tyler are basically the same?
Chase and Tyler. I think Chase and Cody are.
Chase and Cody. Yeah, those are really similar. Yeah. And I feel like those are slightly nicer than like Tyler.
Yeah. That's why I call my friend MC Deep.
They still have the same like flavor, I think, of name.
Yeah, which is Nacho Supreme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nicole, when was your first kiss? Paint the picture.
Aww. Oh my God.
I thought you were going to say hasn't happened yet.
What?
I don't consider any of what we done kissing.
I do have a story though about my sister because you brought up movie theaters. I'm pretty sure it was like when as a family or whatever, we went to see Pirates of the Caribbean and my sister... So she's like 3 years older than me. So she was there with her boyfriend. And it was like one of those things where it was like they sat away from us or whatever. And I remember later her coming up to me and being like, we were making out like the whole time. And I don't know why she included the detail that like he tasted like raviolis. And that is so fucking gross.
He tasted like SpaghettiOs.
Like nearly every high school or like below girlfriend I had, it's just like she tasted like cigarettes.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like it's awkward because you're here to say that it was you.
Yeah.
At the trailer.
Uh-huh.
When I was about to leave.
Yeah. And I said, oh, I love you so much.
And then I left and met Liz, Alyssa, and...
Tony.
I wanted to say Tyler, and I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, that's MCD.
And Tony at, like, I don't know, somewhere.
It wasn't the rendezvous?
No.
Okay.
I want to say bowling alley, but I don't think it was that day.
You're in Muskegon. That's all R2 knows about Muskegon. We have many bowling alleys.
And then we went into like my mom's hot tub or whatever.
And you were like, oh my God, he smooched me.
Yeah, I remember being in Liz's van and I was like, oh my God. weekend.
Oh, well, you're excited about it?
Yeah.
All right, that's news.
It was her first kiss. I would hope she'd be excited about it.
I never heard any reviews.
Reviews.
She kept seeing you. Like, y'all have been together forever.
Okay, well, a lot of the other people I kissed, they're like, two thumbs down.
This guy was all mouth hole.
This dude smelled like chlorine.
He tasted like ravioli.
Ew.
So gross.
Mine was like at a spring fling in intermediate school, sixth grade. That's what I consider.
Yeah.
Because like you play spin the bottle, truth or dare. I don't count those.
I did like smooches on the lips, but with not like make-out-y tongue stuff or anything.
And that's it. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks
this
for
has been
listening.
200 episodes. Cool.
It's all about smooching. We're mostly smooching
Sentai. Yeah.
Ravioli.
Damn.
That's my sign off.
Oh, real quick, what is like the best food that someone could taste like while smooching them?
Cotton candy bubblegum.
Oh.
I don't like cotton candy. I prefer when people don't taste like food, but maybe like champagne or like chocolate.
I guess chocolate, yeah.
Maybe a citrusy kind of thing would be nice. Oh, I don't know.
Refreshing. A spicy can of beans. I love beans. Actually,
I think spicy can of beans is probably at the bottom of the list of what I'd want someone to taste like.
I think peanut butter, that would be pretty good.
I don't like a strong, food flavor when I'm making out with someone, and like onions really linger. So like if someone just ate pico de gallo and then want to make out with me, I'm like, can you like sip something else first? Or like, I don't know, just get that out of there.
I'll be honest, Nicole could eat literally anything. I don't know, like a thick thing of chlorine and I would be fine kissing her afterwards.
I think if she ate the chlorine, you would like Romeo and Juliet style try to eat it with her. Yeah.
This is out now also sounding way too sexual.
No, I thought that got pretty dark, actually.
No, because it's like a thick chlorine implying that it's semen. And then Nicole like eats it and I'm like, oh.
Spit it back into my mouth.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Nicole's shaking her head.
Yes, that is.
Want me to tell the story about my first blowjob?
Yeah, go for it. Who was it?
It was you.
What? Really? I always thought it was blowjobs, then first kiss. That's how I always heard it. Girls is weird.
I swallowed.
Oh, damn.
Let's go.
It was disgusting, and I hated it.
But if you swallow it, you never smell it.
It just stays in your throat. Uh-huh. It just stays there.
You got to eat a whole meal.
I drove to Wesco, which is a gas station, to get like Mountain Dew. And Brandon was there. And I was just like, oh, fuck. I don't want to see someone I know right now as I'm trying to, like, wash down cum with some Mountain Dew.
Brandon was my roommate, then eventually Nicole's roommate at the trailer we lived in.
Wow.
He was weird, but in a good way.
Do you think he knew?
Oh, yeah. You better believe.
He could sense that you had cum in your throat.
Yeah.
He was like, she's either just gotten out of a pool or my boy done did it good.
What the hell? What did I get myself into? And by this, I mean my friendship with James.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the first time I made a woman orgasm?
Yeah, are we ever going to talk about Spider-Man? Or?
Well, that first lady was a Tomi, okay?
I mean, spider webs.
Uh-huh, we're shooting them, baby.
Basically,
yeah, shooting the spider string, yeah.
R2?
Yeah.
What's your experience with Spider-Man?
I mean, I feel like I've always known Spider-Man. He's just always been around.
Does it have anything to do with cum?
Let me think about that.
Have you ever had sex while the DVD menu of Spider-Man 2 played in the background?
Oh,
it
God.
Is very possible that I have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that is very possible because I do recall the first sexual partner I had. We did watch a lot of movies together. And Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy was definitely in there. So I would say it's possible. Spider-Man 2, obviously, the best one. So I really like that movie.
But it ain't got Macho Man Randy Savage in it.
That's very true. And that's 10 points
to the first one,
it.
Yeah.
I didn't know who Macho Man Randy Savage was.
What?
Then.
You, oh, yeah, oh no, back no, then. Is, okay.
Yeah, back then. Now I know. Now I know. It's okay. But this is news to me that he was in that movie.
Oh, yeah. He was in the wrestling or like the fight cage thing when Spider-Man first gets his powers. And he's like, I'm going to exploit this for money.
I can picture it now. Anyway, I had never seen this version, this iteration of Spider-Man before.
All right. Well, what'd you think of it?
I loved it.
Yes.
It rocked. It was so good. It was so silly. Everything looked delightful. I loved it. It was so cute. And this episode just had this really touching story.
Yeah.
Like, I almost teared up at the end. Like, I this was a hit for me.
It's very strange that the boy or the mom did not die at the end. This is like breaking precedence, but we see someone commit suicide in this episode. So.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. Today we are discussing episode 18 of Toei's Spider-Man from 1978 entitled A Boy's Faith in His Mother is Restored. Real quick breakdown. A kid finds a luggage thing. It's a suitcase, and he gives it to his mom who's working, and she's like, oh, man, I'll take we'll find out who this is. But holy Christmas, there's like 5 million yen in there. So she's going to bring it to the cops. She will not be pocketing it, but a guy steals it. He's got a microchip in him. Oh, wait, no, we cannot joke about that anymore. Never. I was going to say microchips are sometimes put in things, but YouTube will not allow that content. One of our videos was flagged, and I tried to appeal it as clearly I'm being a buffoon talking about this, and they said, strike is upheld, and I go, no. So one of our episodes is not on YouTube for that reason.
Weird.
So then she's like, oh, it must have been the Iron Cross Army. No one believes her. Then all of a sudden, a bunch of stereo equipment shows up at her house. And she's like, I didn't buy this. But the neighborhood's like, no, you stole all that money and pocketed and bought just flagrantly too much stereo equipment. And then Spider-Man saves the day. And then some people die. Spider-Man.
That's exactly what happens.
So it starts out this episode. This kid's running home, and Spider-Man on a motorcycle just, like, rips in front of him, and the kid falls down, and he's like, watch where you're going, kid. But luckily, Hitomi's there to be like, hey, actually, I think you need to watch where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's his name, Tatsuya?
Yeah.
He's just like, why is he acting like a buffoon?
Oh, he plays this character, I think it's character, to make sure no one thinks he's Spider-Man.
So like a Clark Kent type kind of situation. Got it.
Except he doesn't have glasses.
Yeah.
He's got contact lenses.
Well, he's got a whole ass mask on.
Oh, yeah, I guess that. Oh, Spider-Man with some glasses on. Gimme.
Yeah, he'd look cool as hell.
Uh-huh. Actually, he should, like Peter Parker, keep the glasses on. So when he puts the mask on, people are like, well, Peter needs glasses.
So it can't. He can't be Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense. If you found 5 million yen, what would you do with it?
Have I told anyone about it?
No.
I'd be afraid the mob would get me, like it's some sort of like drug thing, so I would not keep it.
Interesting. What if you found it, it's like in the middle of nowhere, and you're about to go back somewhere else?
There could be cameras. Maybe I'm on the Truman Show or something.
All right.
Nicole?
No. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Wow.
Because I believe in karma. And so, like, and really, I don't think, like, anything is worth the, like that they're, like, you do, like, a bad thing and, like, unintended consequences will happen.
Sure.
And so it's kind of like you're putting it on yourself. And I'm like, I don't want that.
I'm just like, I don't, if you just find a suitcase full of money, you don't know where that came from. Like, taking it could be better, like, than whoever would have it, you know? There are definitely ways to moralize taking the money. Does it belong to a corporation? They're not even going to notice.
Yeah.
But what if it belongs to a grandmother and that was her inheritance from her grandmother and she was going to give it to her granddaughter?
Which is why I would do some investigation, try to hunt down where this money came from.
Get a little detective kit, do some fingerprinting.
Exactly. I'd have the little powder and the brush and a magnifying glass, and I would find the owner of the money, but I wouldn't contact them right away. I would watch, see, what is this person like? Where did this money come from? It would probably be pretty immediately clear, I'm guessing, because I'm an excellent detective. And then once I found that it was either like a bad person, someone who purposely got rid of the money, or like a corporation or something like that, I'd be like, I could definitely give this money to my friends to improve their lives.
Until you realize that you spent all of the money investigating who the money belongs to.
Oh, no, the whole time I spent 5 million yen buying all this spy equipment. Yeah.
But what if it's like the mother from The Barbarian?
Give me that mommy milk.
Ew.
I haven't seen the film.
Okay, well, I'm not going to say anything. But, will you watch the film? You wanna, I don't want to believe anything.
No, I read the plot synopsis on Wikipedia, oh, okay. So I think I'm good there.
All right, you know the twists and turns that whitest kid you know provided us. So this kid goes home and he starts saying, Mom, I got like a huge good grade on this paper I wrote called Me and My Mom. And I'm like, if I was that mother, I'd say, don't talk about me to people I don't know.
What? Rude.
No, it's so sweet that the little essay you wrote her, it's so nice. It's adorable.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, make some friends your own age and step back from whatever this you think we have going on.
Oh my gosh.
You can have friends and a close relationship with your mom.
You can?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know. It sounds unbelievable, but it's possible.
Holy Christmas. I had a bunch of friends and not a good relationship with my mom. I just thought it was one or the other. I now have a good relationship with my mom. She is listening.
Oh, that's good.
Always listening. So then she's taking this back, and all of a sudden this man in sunglasses, and he's looking like a man in black. Oh, man in black. He takes the bag from her, and then he jumps up a huge wall. Takuya sees it, and he's like, I'm going to try and climb up this. And Hitomi's like, what are you doing? You suck at athletes. And he, like, turns into Spider-Man away from her.
But first, he's trying to climb up this pole, and it just looks so funny. And I am watching this. I didn't know that was Spider-Man.
Oh.
Because this is the only episode of the show that I've watched. So it's just like this guy trying to like scramble up this telephone pole. It was so funny.
He looks a lot like Mario on Mario Party, where you have one of those games where you have to climb up a pole. But it's like someone who doesn't get the like motion you need to do. So it's like,
it's exactly like that.
Thoughts, Nicole?
Uh-huh.
All right. So we find out that she describes this dude to the police as a thief with the chipped neck, which is how I described my ideal partner on Plenty of Fish.
They got a thief with a chip neck?
Uh-huh.
Pringle on their neck.
Uh-huh.
Oh, because you got to you go in there, you bite the chip off, yep. And it's like a really intimate experience.
Oh, we're kind of like role-playing vampirism.
Yeah, but you're just eating the chip. No, I liked this villain guy. Oh, I mean, this whatever, man in black, because he had like metal claw hands.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a great way to make anything look evil. It's just, yeah. Give him a metal claw hand and people get the idea.
Yeah, because, you know, they're robotic.
Yeah.
And robots are evil.
Well, they're doing the robots are just a tool for whoever's using them, and we know someone evil is using them.
Okay, all right. I saw a robot dog. It's evil.
Fair.
Are you saying the corporation made it evil or did its AI make it evil?
The corporation.
Ooh, put a robot dog in a robo-dominator.
What's a robo-dominator?
Well, it's like the Dominator, but it's robotic more so.
What's a Dominator?
It's a
wait! Oh, the dog! Never mind. Yeah. You don't need to explain it. I remember.
Sean's so mad that that has crossed over into all the podcasts. So this man, he gets just exploded because he's a robot. And then the briefcase, of course, drops into Amazonas' arms. She leaves. And Hitomi and Takuya are just watching from afar the mom explain to the cops what happened. And then they just jet set. All of this could have been cleared up if those two just stayed around for questioning, because they could have backed up her claim that, yeah, this dude looked like he had a chip in his neck. Or was it just the cop not believing a woman's testimony?
Well, I think that Takuya and Hitomi is her name.
Yeah.
I think they just didn't get close enough to the thief to really see that. I mean, obviously, Spider-Man did, but he... As Takuya, he didn't.
They could have at least said, oh, we saw him jump up this entire wall.
They could have said that.
Yeah.
Because when she was explaining to the cop, she was like, he jumped up this whole wall. And he was like, oh, this crazy broad. Like, I don't understand the thing she's saying. We're taking her in. But I thought it would have been funny if she had just gone over to the wall and, like, climbed up it really fast and like, just like this, he did it just like this.
The cop says, oh, honey, just like go home and just like maybe you run a bath for your husband. And she's like, my husband died. And then they go, probably suicide with this woman around.
Oh my gosh.
Because they're
take
mean.
My wife, please. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're horrible.
I would like to take my wife out to dinner. You want to go out to dinner?
No.
Okay. So their big thing is also the children. Everyone now does not believe that the Iron Cross Army is behind this because they're saying it's just 5 million yen. They are after so much more. However, organized crime is like a multi-level marketing scheme in the sense that you need a bunch of grunts on the ground floor doing small jobs to fund the big jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're trying to sow discontent by, like, spreading small tragedies around just people's personal lives and having that echo outward. And is this not the same? I don't really remember, but wasn't this the same thing that happened on Bible Man, the episode we watched?
It's very true. Was it about lying, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know, but it was about, like, doing little things to make, like, everyone really sad and susceptible to the powers.
But this is also how conspiracy theories start, where someone's like, oh, all the bad stuff happened to me. It has to be some organization doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
But then it's like, no, like, bad things can just happen.
And where our brains are made to see patterns in things, so... It's really just your brain working too well in that regard. Seeing the patterns amongst all of the tragedies.
Nicole, what patterns does your brain see?
The atrocities of the U.S. government.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that down from YouTube.
Oh, no, trust me, they're fine with that. I'm surprised they're not fine with the other thing because a lot of people seem to be getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was saying, like, I got the thing, and I was happy to have it.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I understand what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
I read between the lines.
Yeah. I'm seeing Shelby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I sounded like possibly I was coming in through your headphones.
Oh my god.
Or is it just people out on the street?
I don't hear anything, but my headphones are pretty good. They're like blocking out a lot of sound. But my chair does make a noise. I'm trying not to move very much.
Okay.
Your new chair.
It's not even that new anymore.
I know.
I love my chair.
You should have sent your old chair off to Sean.
Oh, I still use that one. That's now the work chair.
Okay. Oh, you're working on it.
Oh, I'm working on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I literally sit there to do my day job.
Oh, it's not covered in chlorine.
That's
no,
yeah.
No, it is not.
That's a new way to say that, Nicole.
Yeah.
I'm chlorining over here.
I'm swimming in it.
I'm going to bleach you.
Oh, man. Getting that pH right.
Amazon S's costume, amazing.
All
I
want to
wear it. Yeah. I love her. I want to dress up as her. She looks so cool.
There's a point in the series that her outfit changes drastically to seem less like sexed up. And I wonder why. Was that mother saying, hey, you need to change that? Or was it her saying, hey, you got to pay me more if you want me in not nylons or tights to keep warm?
Maybe it was a different time of year, so it was cold.
Oh, yeah, that could be too. She's got a pink hair on as well.
Yeah.
Pink? I have that in my hair.
Make it all pink.
All right.
Jimmy included.
Yeah, I'm going to dye my headphones and headphone accessories pink as well.
Yeah, make Jimmy pink. 2024.
Hashtag make Jimmy pink.
Yeah, there we go.
I think Jimmy Pink's is a hot dog place.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Gross.
Jimmy's Pink's.
Hey.
So as you described, as you brought up, Amazonas's plan this episode, and then there's also this carnivorous plant, that monster that is just there and is not at all brought up until her plan fails, which is sowing discourse by like doing what seems, she says like, oh yeah, little things here and there, but no, here's what she does. First thing, she corrupts a cop to commit 12 homicidal robberies. She's creating Batmans.
Yeah, that's gonna come back to bite them in 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's gonna be a bunch of kids seeking vengeance.
All
yeah.
on the Iron Cross Army. That's like 10 episodes we see, or I guess it would be like 20 episodes. We see each one story leading to one area. And then the 21st episode, the season finale, is all of them realizing they have had the same exact past and they are all wanting to take down the Iron Cross Army. And then the second season is just like 3 episodes, a movie length of just the Iron Cross Army being beat to shit by these 20 individuals.
Yeah, that sounds really good. And like everyone would enjoy the turn it takes.
Uh-huh.
Do
it. Not the Iron Cross Army, though.
Would you ever do Teen Titans Go formulaic?
Oh, is it formulaic?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
All right, we'll check it out.
Yeah, why not? We always have a fun time doing animation stuff, so.
Hell yeah.
I really want to do Babysitter's Club.
All right.
Done deal. Oh, 12 homicidal robberies. Convinced a bunch of junior high kids to raid another junior high, their rival school, and then they all got beat for it. And then she bullies a student aide so hard, the student aide jumps off from the school 3 stories tall, and we see this doll with true doll physics float to the ground and thud, and she is dead.
She's dead. She left to her death from bullying.
Her reputation was dragged through the mud.
It's really messed up. And all of this I don't know if we're ready to move on to the next
Absolutely.
Part. All of this causes the mom and son, like, there's all this strife that's being caused, and the mom and son are starting to get people talking to them and looking at them weird, like, oh my gosh, she stole the money.
Yep.
Everyone knows she stole the money. And the kid, even at school, a bunch of his classmates start beating him up because they are like, your mom stole that money.
Yeah. And left out of the group, but still isn't defending the child, is Takuya's younger brother. I forget his name. Limp Dick Prick.
Itchy.
Ichiro. Well, he was a part of it, but he was like looking like, ah, man, this situation sucks, but I'm not going to get involved in it either way. And then he goes, and we see him and Takuya in Takuya's room, like sitting down, having a conversation like, oh, you like Takuya saying, you should believe the mom. I think she's a trustworthy person, instilling like some hope in this child. And then Hitomi barges in and says, hey, you need to drive me somewhere. You're not busy. Fucker, He lost a dad, this young child. All he has is Takuya to teach him the ways of the world. And you're like, you're not busy. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, and you hear about that lady who stole all that money. She's just like along with all the gossip.
As
much.
And I was like, you guys were there. You saw it get stolen. What the fuck do you mean?
What the fuck? And I love the little conversation between Takuya and the kid, though, because it also reminds me of earlier, the boy and his mom have this conversation where she's like, do you believe me? I saw this. This is what I saw. Do you believe me? And he's also, we see like what he wrote in that little essay. And he's like, my mom has worked so hard and she's so kind and she works really hard because my dad died and she takes really good care of me. And so like they have this really sweet moment where she's like, look in my eyes. Like, do you see any lies in there? And he's like, he like looks at her and they make these little faces at each other. So it's just like already two different, like very touching moments between a child and their like parental figure where they're just like talking to each other. And I don't know. It was beautiful. I really love this show.
So at this point, all of a sudden, what looks like stereo equipment starts showing up at the kid and the mom's house. And everyone who lives in this apartment complex is coming and going like, oh, you did pocket the money. You stole it. And no one would do this flagrantly if they were trying to conceal that they stole all this money.
Yeah, the Iron Cross Army is literally like gone girling her.
Like, I've never seen it.
Oh, well, there's a part where like all this like cool tech supplies show up in a shed and the guy's like, I didn't buy any of this. Like, but it looks really incriminating for him. And it's the same thing here, except the difference is that what are they going to do with a bunch of sound equipment?
Yeah.
Sell it, I guess. But then they already had money. Why would they need to buy stuff to sell it?
Yeah.
I guess it's like, oh, we can listen to records now. You know that Spider-Man Boogie song that was really popular a few episodes ago?
Yeah.
Oh, we got it in surround sound now.
Exactly.
Would you guys keep all the equipment?
No, because I'd be like, where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah, and if it's making me look bad, that's where I would be like, hello, police. This is clearly, and also ACAB. So, like, I can't imagine that they would be super helpful, but perhaps in this situation, this could be something that we could actually put the police to use.
But then all of a sudden, one of the police officers is a homicidal robber.
Oh, fuck.
Or you end up with Nick Cage on the scene from Port a Call. Hey, real quick, Nicole.
Yeah.
One of our patrons did message that, like, before even listening to the episode, just simply commenting, this is my favorite Nick Cage movie.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
I'm like, Defoe, no. Orion. We were very harsh on that movie.
I said, if you love this movie,
you need to reflect on yourself.
You need to reflect on yourself because that may mean you're a terrible person.
I think he's more so, he saw it when it came out, so he would have been like late teens, early 20s. So he's watching it of just Nick Cage being Nick Cage. And I'm like, but it's so boring in between.
I forgot
to also mention on that episode, I was stoned while watching it and I still hated it.
Yeah.
Port a Call, Bad Lieutenant, bad movie. Bad Lieutenant, more like bad movie.
Well, I do know y'all didn't like Adaptation, which is probably one of my favorite Nick Cage.
Yeah, but this one was like in the bottom five out of 40 movies that we've watched.
46.
So that's pretty bad.
Adaptation, I think we just didn't like the whole like a writer trying to find importance in himself, but it's like, dude, you're getting a little more self-righteous, or it was also just boring a little bit.
Interesting.
Our top movie, Nicole, Firebirds.
No,
that one sucks too. I think it's still Snake Eyes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn, that movie's cool.
Snake Eyes.
That single shot that De Palma did while walking through the backstage. Oh, my God. How did someone do that?
Yeah. You'll never know.
I only got three more notes.
Whoa.
So the kid runs away because he's like, Mom, you lied to me. He ends up going in the back of the truck with all this equipment. And he's like, I'm going to find, maybe my mom is telling the truth. So Spider-Man's on the case. There's a chase scene. And then they stop at this bridge that we've seen before. And so many children have been thrown off this bridge in this series. And we're only 18 episodes. Yes, and a dog.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It happens, you know, sometimes.
The Iron Cross Army just has the bridge, their go-to murder bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it looks like a suicide.
I guess.
That makes sense. Yeah, covering the tracks.
You know that suicide bridge, but it's for dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, Suicide Bridge for Dogs was the the sequel to Hotel for Dogs.
Uh-huh.
It really took a turn.
It's like the bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that real, though?
Yeah, it was, I think, in the UK somewhere. And for some weird reason, it was this spot, this like ledge or bridge or something that a bunch of dogs would just like walk off of and die.
Oh, that's real.
Yeah.
Wow. Hate that for them.
I love that for them.
James is petitioning to get it renamed the Dominator.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck one.
I'm petitioning it for the position. I want to move this location somewhere closer to home, you know?
Okay.
I think the reason why is like there was some sort of cavern or something. Like there was a natural thing that was making an alluring sound that like the dogs were just like interested in and just whoops.
Yeah, maybe like a strong gust of wind.
That could be too.
Came by and just whoop.
Or they just couldn't stop in time. They were like running toward the sound and... Anyway, let's talk about something else.
How the winds blew through the trees sounded exactly like, oh, Camus, you good boy.
Yeah. So they get this kid to the bridge, and they literally, and keep in mind, I've not seen an episode of the show before, but I do know that you told me there was a lot of child death in it. So I was like, oh, my God, they're going to straight up kill this kid. They're going to throw this kid off the bridge. And I'm like, oh, I don't like that because I want him and his mom to reconcile. Like, I would be so sad for this kid's mom. But, of course, they throw him. He's falling. And Spider-Man swoops in and catches him.
He says, I'll always be there to catch you.
And then Spider-Man is like, the man who protects the bond between mother and son, Spider-Man. And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that was one of his like popular roles.
So that's how this show is very formulaic. Every time he is about to like start the fight scene, which is exactly at the same place every single time, where he's just going around fighting the grunts, then eventually the big BEM machine, he says, I'm Spider-Man, he used to just say Emissary of Hell, but now he says, like, insert what the individual that he's protecting this episode.
Wow.
So let's say, like, we, in this episode, it's a hotel for dogs that he's protecting. He would say, I'm Spider-Man, protector of the hotel for dogs.
Yeah, I picked up what you meant.
Yeah.
I think that you could do it, maybe if we took him to the dog suicide bridge.
Oh, yeah.
And then he could swoop in and save every dog as they fell.
That actually seems more of a Batman thing because it's like he has a mystery to solve.
Mm,
oh,
interesting.
Man. We got to do some Batman Scooby-Doo team-ups. It's crazy how they haven't made...
Oh, like Scooby-Doo goes to the bridge?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh,
my God.
Scooby, no.
That's a perfect joke. Because it would constantly, like a Be Cool Scooby-Doo style, it's him constantly, like he hears the noise and looks over and then it does, you know, like a dolly zoom at him. And then like Daphne's like, snap out of it, Scoob. And he's like, oh, yes, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
and then
God.
They like walk away and it happens like 3 times that episode. But then you find out the dogs aren't like dying. It's someone who's like trying to, I guess, like, hey, cow milk is so expensive, so I've been making, like, dog milk ice cream.
Damn, dude, you wrote the episode right there.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm so good at it. Check out Formulaic, a podcast in script writing.
Most of the episodes have to do with milk.
Or have to do with Scooby-Doo. Yeah, that too. Hey, we haven't done Christianity in a while. So he fights these guys and that he just fights them. Anyone have notes on that?
No.
I was surprised. I mean, I don't know why I was surprised. I knew what type of show this was, but then I was like, wow, Spider-Man got in his big mech suit. Like, what? To fight the big plant monster.
Yeah. And he, like, brings the kid back to his home after killing it. And Spider-Man just, like, deuces out. And the kid goes, oh, Spider-Man saved me. I believe you now. And do you believe me about Spider-Man? They go out and see the GP7 go away. And he's like, he's already leaving. No. And I'm like, Spider-Man don't stick around for no kid and no broad, even his canonical girlfriend.
He's off at the drop of a hat. I don't know the phrase that I was trying to go for.
Drop of a pin.
He dances on the tip of a pin right out of your life.
Yeah.
And then the kids believed. End.
And then he and the mom have another touching moment where they're like, wow, the strength of the bond between a mother and her son.
Ugh.
It was a beautiful thing to watch. I really enjoyed it. It was just a delightful little romp that I had with it this morning. That makes it sound like I had sex with it. I didn't. I just simply watched the episode as you're meant to.
You can have a romp without sex, but if it's a romp comedy, it better have sex.
You're right. Check me out on the Romp Complex.
Oh, I have always wanted to do a podcast where it's just like sex romp comedies. You know, your ski schools, your first turn on, etc. Man, oh, we watched one, like New Orleans Spring Break.
Yeah.
That seemed like it was going to be a ripoff of just like those kinds of movies at the time, but it was surprisingly like very well written, but like there were like dumb shits in it because it was just of the time.
Yeah. Not racist, but really homophobic.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, at least it's not both.
The bar is so low.
Yeah, especially for a direct-to-video starring Josh Gad.
Wow.
Sex romp comedy.
Yeah.
Wow, the most sexual being I can think of, Josh Gad.
Yeah, you see what he's been doing with that carrot from Olaf?
Right, yeah, it's filthy.
Uh-huh, smelling
foul
of chlorine.
Oh my god.
Or maybe, hey, it smells like keys in your pocket.
Okay.
No, I think that one went over my head.
I don't want to ask.
That's what vagina smells like.
Okay.
Or like, anyway.
Okay. Oh, okay, so it's okay. You guys are just like TikTok's guidelines.
Yeah.
Once we start talking about vaginas, dunzo.
No, I don't want to hear what you think they smell like.
Well, I mean,
I'm not in the space for it.
Oh, my God. All I'm saying is I've probably smelled vagina more times than everyone on this call.
I mean, more than me.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know, but I can't speak for Shelby's experience.
Like my own?
I guess.
Just in general.
Every dang day I got this thing.
Okay. You're just like, so I guess like dudes will like scratch and then smell their fingers. Women might do that.
Look, I don't think we need to get any more into my personal sense.
We could also talk about other people's.
Well, I guess I haven't, you know, smelled any. I haven't gotten a good whiff of anyone else's. So.
Okay.
Just, you know,
next time you have your keys, just take a big whiff of it and you're like, oh, that's that sweet poot nanny.
I know what keys smell like and I don't like what you're saying.
Okay, well, what about keys of cocaine?
You're not going to convince me that any smell comparison to like a metal.
They're irony. Like, that's in your blood. I guess unless you're anemic, then it doesn't smell like that. That's how it should naturally smell, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, if there's blood in there.
No, there's blood in everything in a human body.
But you're not like smelling your blood through your skin.
Yeah, but any liquids might have some blood. I'm just saying the pH is there. That's how it should smell. It's not supposed to smell all flowery because you're douching every day, ladies. That's bad for you. The companies want you to submit to them.
James, I think you're coming from a good place here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You keep on going with that.
I love
women.
I think
you're like, you're going the right direction, but maybe just slightly along the wrong path. And I like it for you.
Oh, okay. I love women so much, I wish I were one.
Yeah, that's...
I'd be smelling like iron every day, baby. A bunch of keys.
James, why are you using this blood lotion? I want to smell like iron.
I was going to say dicks smell like keys dipped in chlorine.
If I were a lady, you know, Nicole would come up to me and be like, oh, do you have keys in your pocket or are you happy to see me?
Oh, my God.
I'd say both.
Yeah.
And there we go. We got one more thing to talk about, R2. So, Spider-Man generally gets his powers from being bit by a radioactive spider, and his powers mimic that of what a spider can do. That's what the man can now do. If you were to be bit by any animal out there to get their powers, what animal radioactive would you want to be bitten by, and how would you use those powers to take down the Iron Cross Army? Always want to say Zone Army.
Let's see. I think a radioactive... I'm trying to think of, like, what powers could be useful. I love dolphins, but I... And, like, echolocation is cool, but I... Stop pointing at the frog on my head. Let me answer the question the way I want to answer it. Let me answer the question. This man's trying to give me an answer. I'm literally giving him an answer to the question he asked me. So I don't think I could use dolphin powers because that would be mostly in the water and I can't attack them there. So I'm like, what else has echolocation? A bat. They can also fly. I would love to fly. I'd also get sharp fangs. And I could drink blood. And I could fly. So I could fly, drink blood, have fangs, and use echolocation, which would turn into like kind of a mind control charming power. And so I would be this kind of like vampire. No. Yeah, like vampire bat kind of. Hold on. I'd be this kind of bat woman. But I could like suck blood and turn the Iron Cross Army into a bat person like me. I know this is just like a cool idea I came up with of like what bat powers would be like.
You could also suck their blood and kind of make them your...
My like thrall.
You're like your mule to just keep sucking forever.
Yeah, I could just... Oh, I would... I could suck on Amazonas for...
Oh, yeah.
For as long as it takes.
You'd say, did I just suck your neck or are you happy to see me?
I'd be like, wow, I'm sucking your neck and it tastes like keys that have been in my pocket.
And then she goes, why does my blood taste like vagina to you?
And there you go. I'm surprised you didn't go frog.
Well, I was trying to do my fun vampire bit where I had never heard of a vampire before. And then I misspoke. And then you kept pointing at the frog. Let me do my jokes, James. I've got jokes.
You could have turned off the camera. What's a vampire?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
The word just like came to me.
Vampire. A vampire.
Vangina. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the name of the episode.
If you've killed someone from sucking their blood, that's a vampire.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Like you have a prior offense.
Uh-huh. If you, like, snort a bunch of cocaine but kill on stage, that's also a vampire.
Yes, it is.
What's another vam-trier?
Vam-crier.
Or vam-troyer. Yeah, mini-me.
Okay. He's a mini-me. Uh-huh. I see.
Vam-voyer.
Oh.
Oh.
A little guy who likes to watch.
just likes to watch.
He's like, oh, I wish I had smell-o-vision with these. Does it smell like chlorine or keys in there?
He doesn't even, he's like watching. This is what I like. This is good enough for me.
Why hasn't anyone made binoculars but for the nose?
I think they did that on Futurama.
Well, it needs to be on Present-rama.
It's called stick to bendy straws up your nose.
Okay. Someone just runs up to you and toots in them.
Yeah.
Say, suck on that.
Usually you don't want to smell stuff that's far away. You know? Like, it's not usually pleasant.
Unless you're in an area where the scent is bad.
Oh, yeah, and you want to smell an outside area.
Yeah, you want to siphon off the good stink from outside your neighborhood.
Or maybe you want like a double feature for your eyes and your nose. You're positioned like, hey, this is just where I live. It's my apartment. But there's a gym across the street with full windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want the left nostril smelling the sweat and the right nostril smelling home.
Yeah. I was going to say smelling a window while you're looking at some good. Just dudes getting ripped.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm hungry.
I have to pee.
Whoa. You guys are simpatico.
Yep. I eat it, she pees it.
Oh, whoa. Name of the episode. She eats it, I pee it. Shelby, thank you so much being on this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. Y'all know I love you very much.
Back at ya. I apologize if I said anything untoward about smells.
Oh, nothing bad. Nothing bad enough to make me go away.
Okay, all right. I wasn't saying anything derogatory. I'm just saying that's what it smells like. And I like the smell.
Yeah, all the vagina havers, they thank you for your service.
For championing a natural scent.
Mm-hmm.
Get that perfume out of here.
That's right.
It also, I'm allergic to perfume. Do you have anything to plug?
Summer's Eve female feminine hygiene product.
No! I'm bleeping everything.
No, of course, check me out on the Rom Complex. Check out patreon.com/theromcomplex. The more patrons we get, the more episodes we get to have James edit. And it really just is so much better for everyone involved when he does it. Also, check out Formulaic. I'll have a great time writing stuff with my good pal, James.
Yeah.
And then doing those table reads. So check it out.
Real quick, I was watching you on your Discord in office hours edit a rom-com. And I'm like, wait, what? She's gonna take that out, right? Oh no. Well, she's gonna shorten this pause. Oh no. And then you just go to the end and put in the outro music, and I'm like, oh, wait, what? That's what I can be doing?
That's what I'm doing. Especially if it's like a Patreon mini episode. I'm like, these can be looser. I'll leave us saying and ah in there a little bit more because I just got to get them out.
What? No, those people are paying for that product.
I know, it's still good.
Okay,
those
right.
people, I think you mean Nicole and Catherine W.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Nicole, in a way, you pay some of my wages.
Yeah, baby.
That's true.
But speaking of paying wages, Nicole, what you got to plug?
Follow Darling Homebody on social medias and go to darlinghomebody.com to check out all the stuff that I make and sell.
Ooh.
Brought to you by Circuit City.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, guys, head over to MLMpod.com to find out information about my other podcasts, like Death to Squids coming back and Sweet Child Time, check that out, but Sweaty Time Pro Wrestling as well. Check all those out. Height of Horror, This Movie's Gay, will we be coming back monthly? Maybe. Corwin and I sat down and talked about it yesterday for a total of 7 seconds. Yeah, guys, we were doing other stuff. Listen to my music under Marshland Monster. Goods on display coming out, I hope, February 23rd. Waiting on the cover art.
Woo! Goods on display!
And Shelby's on it too with Howard Kramer, a.k.a. Dragon Boy Suede. And head over to patreon.com/MLMpod, where for $5 a month you get exclusive content every single Friday. This Friday, I believe, is This Existed. Corey and I discussing Voyage of the Rock Aliens. And that's rock and roll, not like rock, you know, like Rocktopussy. That's a pretty good movie, guys. Check out Rocktopussy.
Yeah.
Even Nicole agrees. And then $10 patrons get all of that plus monthly bonus exclusive content. Hopefully we have something coming out this month, or I'm going to have to just get stoned and do a watch along. I think people would appreciate that. But our boss said, hey, yeah, I'll come over Monday, and then messaged everyone saying, hey, we're doing Inventory Monday. And I'm like, are you still coming over Monday? I don't know. But yeah, check all that out. And you get exclusive you get shout outs on every single free feed podcast. So let's begin with those, starting with Steve F. Oh yeah, and all these people, thank you to our patrons, every single one of you. You've been here for not all 200 episodes because we didn't start the Patreon right away, but a year or so into it. So thank you all. And let's give a big shout out to Steve F., Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, Alex Z, the Waz, Orion, Jordan B, the Chaos Witch, my Bickle brother in common law, Joshua, Jake, Steve Barnes, a sweet child of time, and Intro Void, my mother, Lil Corey's BFF, and former roommate Shane, that fed, twitch.tv/Corwinning, it's Corwin, and from the Rom Complex, formulaic, a podcast and script writing, this episode of Mostly Speakin' Sentai, it's twitch.tv/R2Shelby2. I've been James.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Shelby.
And we've been Mostly Speaking Sentai. Bye-bye.
Ravioli.
Bye.
This has been a Marshland Media production produced by James McCullum. For more content, please visit mlmpod.com. To support our network and have access to exclusive podcasts, head over to patreon.com/MLMpod and sign up today.
James?
And then Shelby?
Shelby.
All right, we're all recording. We're all good and dandy. Call me Randy.
No.
Oh, do I make you Randy?
No.
Do I make you call you Randy?
No.
Yeah, I do make you call you Randy. Call yourself by Randy's name.
No.
Sklar style.
Here's my number, so call me Randy.
Oh, damn. That's good.
Yeah,
this is
that's
bloopers.
Good.
We haven't had any bloopers at the end in a while, but that's too good to pass up. Not any of my bullshit, but yours.
Start already.
Oh, yeah.